What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. It's our Wager Alarm College Football live stream. I'm your host, Howard Bender, with me here.
What's going on,
for
everybody?
Another year of action. It's our Under the Wager Alarm banner. My man, Craig Misch. Craig, it's been so long. I've missed you so much. We just haven't talked football in forever, dude.
It's been a long time. It's been since right before the Super Bowl, I think, right? Like, I think we closed it off with the Super Bowl. And look, it's, you know, for me and for you, I mean, you're so into baseball, too, and everything that Fantasy Alarm and Wager Alarm does. But it's kind of once the Super Bowl ends, I turn all my attention to baseball. And then once you get past the baseball trade deadline and you kind of figure out who you have on your team and you don't, then I can dive into college. But I've been looking at college and pro, of course, going back for months, and I know that we're going to have a lot of fun this season. This is the first of many live streams we're going to do for the next almost 7 months. So I'm honored to be back with you again, Howard and Matt, and thanks for having me here. And let's dive right into it.
Shout out to my producer, Matt Sells. He's handling the work behind the scenes here, and making Craig and I always look good, which we definitely appreciate. All right, well, for everybody out there, just so you know, Craig and I, every Tuesday night and every Friday night, we do our live streams. On Tuesdays, what we usually do is we look at the lines for the week, and then we discuss which ones we like the most, which ones we think we can that can be manipulated the most, like which ones are going to move. And so that's what we do on Tuesdays. On Fridays, we make our picks. When the NFL starts up, we'll make our picks for the Westgate Super Contest. We will also make our college football picks as well. So being as out here we are now in the month of August, nice early time. It's the perfect time to start looking at some college wins totals right now. We're going to do this for NFL as well, but we've got a little bit more time for that. College football season is going to be ramping up before you know it. So, Craig, let's talk here first of all about the wins totals and what we're really kind of looking at for right now, because it's not just we've got a lot of, you know, regular people who come here and see these live streams on a regular basis who are used to this. But for those people who are a little bit new to the scene here over at Wager Alarm, what exactly, what's the criteria that you look at most when you're looking at betting wins totals on a team for the entire season?
Yeah, and I think I approach this usually with all totals that I do, whether it's the NFL or college football or the NBA or any other sport, which is there usually isn't a lot of value at the top and the bottom, but there is always some value somewhere in the middle, because you can kind of try and predict which teams are going to take a step above what Vegas thinks. And then, of course, you can try and find some teams that you think are going to be worse than they think. And usually what happens, Howard, in pro and even in college sports, is there are trends. And at some point, a team in pro, in college, in any sport will get to a point where they realize that they're not going to be as good as they thought or as Las Vegas thought, and they go the other way, and they go pretty quickly the other way, too. And so those are the kind of things that I like to identify in terms of when we last left you for college. Now, remember, Howard and I, throughout the college football season last year, what we did is we did three college picks against the spread every week. And so, as Howard mentioned, we opened up on Tuesday. We'd give you the lines. And then on Friday, we reviewed three college football games. And then Howard and I gave our super contest picks. And as Howard mentioned, not only was it fun, but if you go back and you can check last year's super contest record, we did phenomenal in our first year doing this for Wager Alarm, Fantasy Alarm. I forgot what we ended up calling.
We finished just outside the top 100, which were the ones who got
fantastic.
Paid.
Yeah.
Three wins. Three wins on the entire season would have just knocked us up one quick step there. But, I mean, listen, it's not just that. I mean, listen, it was great in the Super Contest. All the games that we ended up playing throughout the entire season, not just in the Super Contest, but other games that we talked about, I finished in the black for NFL. We also finished in the black for college, which was absolutely fantastic, because it was not just picking against the spread there, but we also did some, you, Craig, did some amazing work with the over-unders there. I mean, you were pulling stuff out. Remember North Texas last year? North Texas. It was like we were betting the over-under on North Texas few weeks in a row, and just kept boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, and look, and when you start to pay attention to, I know it's kind of daunting, I think, for a lot of people, because most are used to pro football, and I think that predominantly that's like the easy way to go, especially if you live in the Northeast, maybe you aren't all that familiar with college football. But at this stage of my life and even who I am, I'm a much bigger college football fan than I am pro football fan. And it really doesn't have a lot to do with the wagering. It's that just from a conceptual point of view, the games are a lot more exciting. You have to kind of hand pick and try and find games every Sunday and Monday and Thursday in the NFL that are exciting. And the college brand just provides a lot more of that. And also even from a wagering point of view, Howard, on a Tuesday when we would do these live streams last year and we would give out the lines, we'd come back on Friday and in college they'd move like 3 points. Like, what happened? What happened? What? Who's playing? Who's not playing? Is the weather going on? What's happening? In the NFL, they really don't move that much. So there isn't as much value in that. But when we last left you, we picked the national championship. We won. We took Clemson, beating Alabama. Nobody thought that would happen. We nailed that pretty good. So hopefully we'll pick up off that momentum last year. Just to kind of give you an idea, for those people who are completely unfamiliar, a college win total in general in the past. Now they've changed things a little bit, and you can, in some places in Las Vegas, they have these adjusted win totals over the course of the season where you can go above and below. But conceptually, the way that it's worked in the past is that you would go to a place in Las Vegas, and now, of course, you can go all over the country and do it. And they provide you with a win total, how many wins the team will have in 2019. And then you make a choice, and you can go either over or below that number. And usually, you're risking about, on average, $115 to win 100. Now, there is a sliding scale for a lot of these, too. Some you have to risk more to win less. Some you can risk less to win more. But basically, for these live streams and for these totals, we're essentially going to go more along the 15-cent mark, so about a 115, 120 for 100. The two teams that we're not going to give opinions on, but we could certainly discuss, they aren't any of the picks that we have. And again, they start right at the top, but I think it's just important to note that Clemson going into the season, their win total is 11.5, and it's the highest. And Alabama's is 11. And you may ask the question, why is Alabama lower than Clemson, when arguably you could make the argument that Alabama is just as good as Clemson? Up until the championship game, they looked that way. Well, of course, Alabama, Howard, plays in the SEC. It's a tougher conference for sure. There's more probability of a loss. They play against LSU. They play against Auburn. Depending on the year, they'll play against Georgia, too. A lot of the powerhouses are in that conference. So it'll be an exciting college football season for sure. The other thing that happened last year at this time, and as we go, we will look at some of the other futures in terms of who will win the Heisman Trophy and different kind of propositions that you can make. And Howard, I think it's important to note, for all of the fantasy that you're doing right now, we were doing these live streams 1 year ago today, and Kyler Murray was nowhere near the Heisman Trophy. He was nowhere near the number one pick overall in the draft. And so, as you can see, a lot will happen between now and the time we get to the end of the season.
No doubt about it. All right, you got my blood flowing here. I'm feeling really good.
I told you,
about
we're back.
This.
We're ready to roll here.
Oh, I got to tell you, you know what? I like Clemson having a higher number there than Alabama.
They should. They play in a weak conference. I mean, it would be
a conference. They're also returning a ton of guys.
Well, they're returning the best player in college football in Trevor Lawrence, so that's really important, too. Travis Etienne, maybe the best running back in college football. Clemson is just going to be rolling teams all season long. But as we saw last year in that game against Syracuse, before Trevor Lawrence was in, they lost their quarterback, and they played a really close game. Their third-string quarterback had to bring them all the way back. So they didn't cover in that game, and they almost lost. Every college football team, really outside of Alabama, ironically, is going to have a close game where it's going to come down to the fourth quarter. There's a couple of minutes left. Usually that scare wakes them up, and then they end up going on to do what they're going to do for the rest of the season. And indeed, that definitely happened with Alabama last year. In terms of the way that we did this, in terms of the way that I like to do this, college as opposed to pro, there's so much fluctuation. Of course, the offensive lines are important in the pros, and of course, the quarterback is important in the pros. But the most important thing when you're looking at a college football total is, and these are adjusted based on that, Las Vegas is not silly, but the amount of players that are coming back to the team. I mean, that's just a huge factor in its kids playing college football, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. The ones that they know each other, the offensive linemen, they know the guy to the left, they know the guy to the right. You have the quarterback coming back. You have the receivers coming back. There's that familiarity. Pros in the NFL, they go from one team to the next, and they're making big money, and they have these expectations. They don't in college. And so what I tend to do is look at that and look at players that have the most players coming back, finding lower win totals in college, and then going above that based on that. In fact, there's a trend in college football that speaks to that, and I'll kind of explain it and a little bit what it means. Like, the quarterback's the most important part of both college and pro. But in some cases, like, for example, Army and some of these service academies, the quarterback doesn't matter as much as because they're just constantly handing the ball off. Georgia Tech used to do that, but Paul Johnson no longer there. Last year, teams that had 16 out of their 22 starters back. So look at the big board here, the big whiteboard. 11 on offense, 11 on defense, that's 22. So teams that had 16 players out of their 22 starters back, including their returning quarterback as being one of them, went 17-4 on the overs. 17-4. So what does that tell you? It's not exact. It's not 90%. It's not 85%. But more often than not, if a team has its quarterback coming back and a lot of their starters, you have a better chance of going on the over than you do the under. So we won't go all that far off the grid with this, and I know that I have a couple, and you like have a couple that you're going to talk about, and we'll go over these, and then, of course, anybody who's watching on demand, you can kind of understand where we came from it. But for the NFL, Howard and I will do every team. We'll do the AFC one night. We'll do the NFC one night. But just specifically for college, and given the fact that, as you know, Howard, 2 weeks out from college football, man. I mean, we're right there. We are 2 weeks away. In fact, we'll do our NFL win total live streams next week. The following week, we'll be doing the games. I mean, yeah. We're there. Florida plays Miami in 2 weeks. It's almost here. So I don't know. You want to go first or I'll go first? We'll get it rolling. Sorry for the long speech.
How much of this is returning starters or returning players again for you? I went through mine a little bit more conversationally with Mark Taylor, our guy over at Fantasy Alarm, who's a big college guy, and we had a few discussions about certain things there, but I actually didn't dive into that number as much as you did as far as the 17-4 record with returning that many starters. So hit me with your first one.
All right. I'll start off with UCLA. Their win total is 6.5 for the season. Of course, they play in the Pac-12, which is a winnable conference. They have 19 of 22 starters coming back. Josh Kelly is their running back. You'll hear a lot about him this year. He was pretty good last year. Rushed for 1,300 yards, 300 against USC. It didn't come on until late in the year. It is no fun, Howard, to side with Chip Kelly. No one likes him, and I get that. But
nobody does.
But we're here to help, and we're gonna look past that. Also, another key with win totals too. Teams that played well down the stretch are going to bring, and they're bringing back those same players last year, give you a higher probability of going over that total. UCLA was 0-5 to start the season, and then they finished 3-3. So that puts them right in the 6-7 range. I think that UCLA wins 7 or 8 games. I'm going to go over on 6.5 for UCLA this year.
Okay. I got that over on UCLA. All right. I'll throw out my first one here. And this kind of hurts personally here just because in college basketball, I hate him so much, but Duke University. Now everybody's all on Daniel Jones leaving the team. And you know, Duke's not a marquee football program that you really want to jump on here. No, it's not. And they've also got a couple of out-of-conference games, Alabama and Notre Dame, which makes it a little bit on the tough side here. Their over-under is 6.5.
So got a couple so of out of their schedule games here,
and I'm looking at teams like NCA&T, and there was another one. I think Virginia Tech is obviously on the schedule there. They've got 7 or 8 winnable games there in this. I like David Cutcliffe, their coach. Very offensive-minded here, but the thing for me about Duke is their defense. And the offenses that they are facing and squaring off against, really, they're not a lot of high-powered offenses. Maybe, you know, obviously Alabama and Notre Dame, I'm not going to sit there and put them in there. I put that at 2 losses right there in 12 games. But for me, I look at the rest of this schedule here. I look at Quentin Harris, who's going to be their quarterback now. He backed up Daniel Jones, knows the system, knows the program there. I dig it, man. And for 6.5, for this team to finish 7-5 based on the in-conference games that they've got, I'm okay with it. I like it. It's a rare one, but the money line's a little bit favorable for me here, so I'm going to take Duke on the over at 6.5.
All right, so Duke over there. Look, you know, part of this is obviously conference-wise, and the difference between, by the way, and look, there's been some historically bad radio shows and continue to be bad radio shows across the country that do the whole NFL, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win, that's a loss, that's a win. That doesn't exist in the NFL, okay? The NFL is on its head by the time you get to week three. You can do that in college, okay? In college, you don't find a team that's supposed to win 10 games that wins two. It usually doesn't happen like that. And if they do, a lot of the games are close. So Nebraska is a good example of that last year. They started off 0-5. They played a lot of close games. Now, all of a sudden, people think they're going to be good again. So that's good that you're willing to hand out losses to the team that you're going over, because that means you recognize where you think that the total should be. And clearly those are two couple losses. But look, every team like Duke and like some others are going to have some gimmies. There's no question. So we got you down for that one. Rare for me to go with back-to-back in the same conference, but I'll also go back to the Pac-12 here for my second over. I'm going to go over on the Oregon Ducks 8.5. That's their number. Justin Herbert is their quarterback. Everyone's talking about Tua being the first pick overall in the NFL draft. If I didn't just illustrate why you don't know if that's going to be the case, just take Kyler Murray's picture and put it somewhere in your room, and you'll understand you don't know going into the season who's going to win the Heisman Trophy and who's going to be the number one or number two pick in the NFL. It changes so fast. If you remember, going into his junior year and then his senior year, Sam Darnold was Joe Montana. Now, I'm not saying that he won't be. He could still be good. But going into those seasons, everyone thought this guy was going to throw for 40 touchdowns his first time out. And as you can see, it took a little time. Maybe he'll be better with the Jets this season, but that's a tough thing to predict. But here's the good thing about Herbert, who decided to come back for his senior season. He has all five offensive linemen coming back. That is just huge in college football. One of the only teams in the country that has it. The names, who obviously I don't watch that much of Oregon every day, but I'll give them to you just so you know. Sewell, Lemieux, Hansen, Warmack, and Thornton. They're all coming back. In fact, four seniors and a sophomore. So that is super rare. All four have started. They're all four-year starters. Last season, Herbert was sacked 22 times. That's below average in the NFL, in college football, so that's okay. That's not terrible. The running game is going to need to improve a little bit, but there is a lot of experience there. The other thing that is very key for me here, Oregon, for some reason, on the quirk of the schedule, they have only four road games all season long. For this total to go over, Howard, that first game of the season in 2 weeks is going to be huge. They play Auburn at a neutral site in Texas. It's one of the monster games on the first week of college football. But if Oregon wins that game and they only have four road games all season long, I'm feeling really good about that. I like the direction that program is headed, so I'm going to go over 8.5. You give me one of the best quarterbacks in the country with all five guys coming back to protect him, I got to go over that one. Tough matchup, though. And by the way, Oregon is a 3-point underdog on a neutral site against Auburn in game one of the college football season.
I love it. I love it. I'm all in. Serve it up. My other one, here we go. Now, one of the things that you and I talked about extensively when we were doing the bowl game analysis and we were making our picks for all the bowl games there, one of the things we talked about was coaches leaving and the impact on a team like that. Well, one of the teams that we talked about and we actually picked against was West Virginia because they were losing Spavadal as their coach. And he was going to rebuild the program over at Texas State. Well, we went against them in the bowl game. They got thumped by Syracuse. What was it, like the Camping Bowl or some ridiculous name like that? And I look at what Spavadal can do as far as he's a very offensive-minded coach. He's coming in there to Texas State. The conference itself is definitely – it has a couple of winnable games on their schedule there. They're not the be-all, end-all. But their over-under right now is at 4.5. And if you want to talk about returning players, how about the fact that they're returning 10 of 11 players on defense? They get it done on defense as well. Another reason why I like Duke, a team that does it on defense also. So when I look at the defensive side of the ball, returning 10 of 11 starters there for Texas State, I dig on that. I like him as a coach. I think that he's going to be able to employ a really strong offensive-minded, pass-heavy scheme that he's going to run over there. They get a new quarterback here in Gresh Jensen, who's coming up from junior college. He's expected to win the starting job outright here. At 4.5, you're telling me that we can't get 5 games out of Texas State this year? 5? I feel like we can. I feel like we will. And that's where I'm going.
All right, so over 4.5. Yeah, they're one of the lower ones, I think, in college football. If I'm not mistaken, Connecticut is very low. Buffalo is very low. A lot of those teams lost. Buffalo was really good last year. They had a great year. But that's what happens. And we'll get to one of the teams that I'm going to go under on. It's that cycle of college football, Howard, is that the teams that are never supposed to be good in college football, like once every 4 or 5 years, they're fantastic. They have that one magical year. One of the teams we're going to go under on is one of those teams coming up. And then when that happens, the next year, they're just going, it's a dumpster fire. It's over, you know? Like, the coaches leave, they're getting these accolades, the best players all leave, and then they fall apart. And then they're back in like 4 or 5 years again. This is not like some of the best teams in the country. Florida, Michigan, Ohio State, they're not always up like that. Okay, so to the unders, I'll start off with one. I think this is a good one. Virginia Tech, their number is 8. They lost the bowl game last year, and Virginia Tech had one of the best college football coaches in history in Frank Beamer. But since he has left, the first year that he left, their new coach, Justin Fuente, the team was pretty good. But every single year since, he's gone down. So from year 1 to year 2, year 2 to year 3, the other thing that's happened with them, and again, this is because I follow college a little bit more, is there's this thing that's really taken a lot of prominence in college football this year. And Howard, it's called the transfer portal. I don't know if you've heard this before, but what's happening is there's a transfer portal where you can see when a player decides that they want to leave their school. And so because there's no agents involved and there's no pro teams involved, it's simply a matter of them going online and entering what's called this transfer portal. And coaches have been able to see this and then start recruiting the players who are leaving. And strangely enough, and I don't know what is going on, but Virginia Tech has all their guys transferring. Everyone's leaving the school. I don't know why, but they lost several players. Their defense last year was 4. They gave up 400 points. It's the first time ever in school history that they've done that. 4 of their offensive starters transferred in January, and what that means sometimes is that there's probably some discord within the program, and so there's no question that Fuente, the coach of Virginia Tech, is he on the hot seat like some other coaches? Maybe not, but he's definitely in the top 5. They have some walkover games, although Old Dominion, they couldn't beat them last year, but Old Dominion, Furman, Rhode Island, those are ones that Virginia Tech is supposed to win. Let's assume they win those games. But I don't see any way that there are 6 more wins on their schedule. So I'm going to go under 8. I think they win 6 or 7 games. I think that program is in trouble. And this is the final year of coaching for Bud Foster. He's been there for, I think, 35 years or something crazy like that. He's one of the all-time best defensive coordinators. But that's not a good sign either when he just decides to leave. So a lot of just some clouds surrounding a program. So if the clouds are surrounding the program, Howard, give me the rain. Give me the thunder. I'm going 8, under 8 on Virginia Tech this year, under 8 wins.
And you know what? And you know what I love so much about that one is that adds probably a win for Duke. Yeah, that's right. Duke, Virginia Tech on the schedule there. Duke's going to win that one. Add it in.
That's our huge. That's our college football game of the year, by the way, right there.
Duke, Virginia Tech.
We both need that, right? We'll both be pulling against that. Both directions. It's like, it's not even a tug of war. We're both pushing the boulder.
Right? Absolutely. I'd tell my wife, I'd be like, oh, we're taking another mortgage out on the house. All right, here you go. My first under here, kind of an easy one, actually, because it has a lot to do with losing players and schedule, and that's Fresno State. I was actually surprised that Fresno State had the over-under of 8. I was kind of surprised, you know, when I saw that, especially when you look at their schedule and you've got USC and Minnesota to start off the year. I'm sorry, but if you're losing that many players, you're losing that much talent there for Fresno State, and you've got to open the season against let's face it, very strong programs here could in Minnesota and USC.
Yeah, could be
0-2. Started off 0-2. Rough. Not only that, though, they have two bye weeks that are pretty early on in their season, and then they've got a run of 8 straight games, which includes a road trip to Hawaii. Now,
Hawaii's going to be good this year.
Hawaii's going to be good this
year.
Take these guys. I don't know if anybody, if you've been to Fresno, I've been to Fresno. And if I'm going to Hawaii, all right, guess what? I'm going to enjoy Hawaii a little bit. I mean, this is like...
They're going to lose that game, too. Hawaii is going to be... This is going to be, you know, how I talked about college football teams, that they're great 1 year and then horrible for, like, another mm-hmm. 5. This is Hawaii's year. They haven't been good in a while. They're going to be really good this year. We're going to have to stay up very late to watch these games this year.
I'm on the West Coast. I'm good with that.
I'm not.
So I'm taking Fresno State's under of 8 games. I don't think they win 8 games.
I like that.
I put them at like 5 or 6, actually, in looking at their schedule. It's going to be a very, very tough road for this team to maneuver. So I love this pick.
I like it, too. Okay, so my last under will be going under on the team that did so well for us last year. I hate to do it. I hate to do it. But Kentucky was so good to us last year.
They really were.
We jumped on that Kentucky train like 2 or 3 weeks in. Remember I was talking to you, I'm like, Howard, this running back, Benny Snell, like he's going to be at the NFL somewhere. He's going to get a chance to play. By the way, Benny Snell is like super underrated in fantasy, too. He was really good. Look at his numbers, 1,600 yards and 27 touchdowns at Kentucky.
Dude,
like, if something would ever happen to Connor, I am telling you now, people are making a mistake. I watch college football. The kid is going to play. He's going to score some touchdowns. I don't know if it's this year or next year. But he played in the toughest conference. Oh, he's slow. He doesn't run so fast in the combine. Okay, we'll see. We'll see.
3 leagues so far. James Conner is the lead running back. Benny Snell is the handcuff. It's a no-brainer for me.
You got to have Benny Snell. Okay, so Kentucky had 22 starters, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, 8 coming back this year. Oh, so... they decided basically, apparently, according to the spring practices, from what the reporters are saying, and again, I'll cover Kentucky, is that they're installing a new passing offense because they really don't have any running backs. They lost 2 guys. They had that fantastic year last year. Kentucky beat my Gators. They beat Mississippi State. Kentucky beat Penn State in the bowl game. But this is going to be a huge step back from their 10-win season last year. And Vegas has identified it, okay? So they're also not on the bandwagon, but I really like the hook here, and by hook, the 0.5. If this was 6, we could probably land on 6, and we'd shake hands and say nobody won, nobody lost, but that extra half to me is the key here because I don't see any way Kentucky wins 7 games. I could see them winning 6 because fluky things can happen, but too many tough games in the SEC. I think that what Kentucky's trying to do is go through a little bit of a rebuild and change the offense a little bit. Mark Stoops showed that last year he's a great coach and he deserved the opportunity that he got at Kentucky. But that would have been his last shot had he not done well. Magical season for UK last year. A lot of close wins. A lot of wild wins. And leaning on a brutal running back in Benny Snell who's just getting 30, 40 carries a game for that team and just running over people. He's gone. I don't see Kentucky matching the success or even coming close that they had last year. I'm going to go under 6.5.
You know, and it's so funny that, you know, that half, that hook right there, that's actually with my next under here as well, was one of the deciding factors. Because it's a little bit of a controversial call here, but I'm going with the under 9.5 for Central Florida.
UCF.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, listen, they've been fantastic. It's been a fun program to watch.
Yeah.
Been a fun program to watch, but... Mackenzie Milton, I mean, that was horrifying to watch. He's not around. Darryl Mack, their backup, he's hurt. Now they're bringing in Brandon Wimbush from Notre Dame. I just don't necessarily know how he gels in this system. Like, it's a very pass-friendly system. It's a very pass-heavy. And I don't necessarily know if this kind of like a run-and-gun offense here is Wimbush's style. And so I kind of worry about that. And the hook is really where it was because in looking at their schedule, can they win 9? Yeah, they probably could.
Probably 10? Can. Yeah.
10?
This is going to be a close one.
That's going to be, it's definitely going to be a close one. I'm going to need a, you know, like one of those games where you say, where like all of a sudden it's like, ah, the game that they were supposed to roll, it was a little close. They got the scare. Maybe they got the scare a little too much here. So I'm going to go with the under on 9.5 for Central Florida. Could I see them easily winning 9 games? No question about it. 10 games, that's where I'm going to, you know, leave it.
You got to get where
mind.
The value is. Yeah, look, if that's where you think the value is, then you go under that. You know, Wimbush at Notre Dame, Bach ended up taking over for him, so he ended up transferring, and he's fortunate to be at UCF. The other thing that's in your favor here is that, 2 months ago, before the injury to Mack, Wimbush didn't know if he was going to play or not. There was some talk that they would compete for the job, and obviously if Mack would have struggled, they would have put Wimbush in. But the other thing about Wimbush is that he's not as elusive as the other two guys are. Those guys, Mackenzie Milton and Mack, could both run. And Wimbush could run, make no mistake about it. But he's a bigger quarterback, and he's more of a running back than he is one of those guys that runs all over the field. So
right, yeah.
it'll be close. You know, the problem with UCF, and again, if it's going to go under, and here's what you'll notice, is that UCF, unfortunately, Howard, for this pick, their schedule is terrible. They're going to beat almost everybody. It's going to come down to the tough games that they have on their schedule, and there aren't very many. But when has any team in college football in a non-Power 5 rolled off 3 wins of 10 or 11 wins or more? The answer is never. So that plays in your factor as well. It'll be interesting to see, and the good thing about this one, too, is that you're going to know pretty quickly, because if you see Wimbush struggling at the beginning of the year and UCF as, like, 20-point favorites not covering and being in close games, eventually that'll normalize itself and they'll take a loss. So, interesting one, and we'll definitely monitor it over the course of the year.
Fantastic. Well, there you go. Those are overs and our unders here for the day. Just to recap for you guys, on the overs here, Craig likes UCLA over 6.5, Oregon over 8.5. I like Duke over 6.5, Texas State over 4.5. Texas State, I'm eyeballing them all year. For the unders, Virginia Tech with the under 8, Kentucky under 6.5. For me, it was Fresno State under 8 and Central Florida under 9.5. Now, we'll write them down, we'll mark it, we'll figure it all out, we'll track this as we go the rest of the way. There's a lot of college stuff to talk about here, so I think we're going to stick with the college and do some props and some potential Heisman Trophy stuff on Friday, right? That's where we want to lean.
Yeah, and I think the other part of it too is we could start to take a look at the first weekend of college football, and this Friday will be straight up 2 weeks away from this thing getting started. And make no mistake about it, week 2, week 3 of the college football season. In fact, they call the first weekend week 0. Ironically, I don't know why, but they call it week 0. But you get some out-of-conference games, just huge games that can determine the national championship right away. And it'll be a lot of fun. As I mentioned, one of the big games for me is my Gators are playing against the University of Miami. So given that I cover Miami sports and I'm a Gator living here, I'm super excited for that game as well. Can't wait. College football just... I know everyone clamors for the NFL, and they should, because fantasy is a big part of it too. But you take a look and go back at the live streams that we did last year and the excitement that we had going in. And look, we had fun doing the Super Contest games. Honestly, that was great every Friday night. But seeing these college games and the way they would flip and the way that these totals would start off, they'd go 3 points down, 4 points down. You're trying to get the best value you can on a Wednesday when the game goes off on a Saturday. That's what we're going to be here for you all season long.
No doubt about it. You know what really helped me last year, actually, and this was when you talk about how it's overwhelming, you've got all these conferences and all these teams, like to narrow that scope a lot more and just pick, you know, one or two conferences where we really like the way everything is kind of laying out here, and we pick off of those games because you can just focus your attention a lot more on it. You can focus your research. Everybody wants to go all willy-nilly, and I want to bet Notre Dame, and I want to bet Alabama, I want to bet Clemson. That's not where you make your money.
No, never, never. The main games on TV is, and I understand it, and through the years, if you're just an average fan, and let's say on any given weekend in terms of wagering, and now that it's legal in, I think, 11 states, and you can have accounts or just go over to a local casino anywhere. Last year, I mentioned I went to Mississippi one weekend. You know, people, what is their budget for this? $50, $100 a weekend, something like that. I get it, Howard. If the game is on TV and it's Auburn, Oregon, and you're going to be sitting at home and you want to watch it and you want to have action on it because of it, I get it. But that doesn't mean that there's any value there. It just means that you're trying to entertain yourself. What we're trying to do is we're trying to go a little bit beyond that. And we're trying to make you have to get the remote and go, is this game on TV? I can't find this game anywhere. You know, like when Howard's sitting with the RotoBuzz lady going, I don't know where this SMU is. This on anywhere? I don't even know. He's checking his phone. He's texting me. What's going on? I can't figure it out. Those are the games we like.
Oh, those see, I spend all my time being like, I'm sorry, honey. I got a work thing right now. You take the dogs.
Honey, I got to update the FAU score here. The Florida.
Yep, absolutely. Score. Everybody wants to know what's going on here with the UCF Tulsa game. Everybody wants to know. Everybody.
That's what we do. That's what
all
we
right.
Do.
Well, so here you go, folks. Tuesdays. We're usually going to do it now. Tuesdays is 8 p.m. I happen to have an auction draft, which is why we bumped it up a little bit early. Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern. Friday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern. Wager Alarm live stream. He's Craig Mish. I'm Howard Bender. We'll catch you all season long, baby. Get ready. Buckle up. Going to be one hell of a ride here. For Craig, I'm Howard. This has been Wager Alarm live stream, and we'll catch you next time.